Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
You know, I'm great.
Always.
Just
busy.
Super duper great. I'm golfing at Bandon Dunes on Thursday, which is exciting. It's supposed to rain a little bit. It'll be fine.
It always rains there. Unlike Autzen Stadium.
Oftentimes. That's awesome. I'm pumped about that. I recorded a different podcast this week. I recorded a different show this week and also produced that one live, but I used our old board. So we, 40 and 20 Watch Clicker, sold our old recording equipment to this new show. And so I used that board, but I used it for the first time in what?
2 years.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
I'm thinking a year.
I lived here when we got it. So
yeah, I was thinking maybe a year, but I guess it could be as much as two. Anyway, long story short, I was reminded that there were some things that were different about this one. So one of those was the fade in and out of the intro and outro music. I have to be a little heavier with this one, and I've got to be a little bit more gentle with that one. So we recorded it, and I realized, and I was like, if I could, I'll leave it. But I'm going to have to
do some tweaking.
Yeah, get my muscle memory right. That was fun, though. That podcast will start to publish tomorrow, and it's a totally, wholly different thing, and I'm kind of pumped about it. It's exciting.
It's about clocks.
That's right. Yeah, that's
wall
right.
Clocks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
precisely. It's also called 40 by 20, or called 40 by 20. It's a similar thing, but it's centimeters instead of millimeters. Yeah, it's fine. No, it's actually like a legal education podcast. So, and it's specific to Oregon law. It's
very much unlike Serial. So if you are thinking it's going to be a true crime thriller, with the sultry voice of Everett guiding your way through the whodunit, it's not that.
It's not that yet. No, we're hoping that it's the kind of thing that like some people who aren't lawyers and required to take CLEs might listen to it, but most likely the vast majority of the people who listen to this will be lawyers grinding their CLE credits. Oregon lawyers grinding their CLE credits, but it was fun. It's a totally different thing. I had a lot of fun with that, but I had to get used to the old equipment again.
Oh, and you took the old microphones too.
I did. Yep.
I'm glad. Cause I just noticed that they weren't there. And, Calvin's been in this way where he comes in here and removes things and hides them. Cause that's a fun game.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that for a 4-year-old, it's pretty impressive that when you say, "Hey, bud, did you hide this thing?" "Yep." "Where'd you hide it?" And he'll tell you exactly where it is. And he hides a lot of things, and he remembers where he puts all of said things. They're not just lost. It's like, "Oh, no, it's here." Like, what? How did you even get there to to hide that? Like, where are all my pens? Crackers. In the cracker cabinet. Oh, okay. Downstairs. Where's all the paper? Bathroom cabinet. What's the other pens? Like, you fucking asshole. Like, quit hiding my things. This morning he was in there in under their sink. They've got a pretty wide cabinet, you know, as most sinks do, but it's big enough for he'll crawl in there with all the paper out of the printer and a pen that he has found and just color.
Just draw things.
Yeah, just draw things in the cupboard where he thinks we can't see him.
Andrew, I didn't get a chance to ask, how are you?
Ooh, I'm also good. I haven't done youth sports in a while, so we're doing two practices a week and then double headers on Saturday, which is like really tiring.
Yeah.
And there's an hour break in our previous weeks. There's been an hour break between games, which has been terrific. We run down to Safeway, we get him a deli sandwich. We get a little bit of a reset. This weekend, we have back-to-back games.
How long are your games? An hour?
Full hour.
Yeah.
And it's a constant moving sport. And because they're not good at it, it's all like transition. There's never like, oh, now we're on offense, and they work the offense a little bit. It's like up and down and up and down and up and down and up. And like, I get sweaty because at this age, they have a coach on the field also kind of like helping manage the chaos. Like, I get tired and sweaty from running the field with them. I'm like, this is...
Do you get to carry a stick?
No.
Yeah, no, that's too bad.
I do push them sometimes.
Gently.
Well, sometimes I need pushed. Like, yeah. Move, go, yeah, mush. But it's nice, you know, for the most part, the third and fourth graders, like, if I'm not paying attention and they crash into me, it doesn't hurt, and they just bounce off and fall down. There's a couple of those kids, though, who are in fourth grade who are as big as me.
Yeah, big boys.
Yeah, and fortunately, though they have all, like, of the athletic assets that you would expect of an athlete, because they're 5'9" and 150 pounds in the fourth grade, they have absolutely no coordination and no idea what to do with it.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's like, even they crash into me, they're like, oh my God, I fell down. I'm like, well, you know, that's going to happen. Yeah. So yeah, but it's been super fun. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. But it's tiring. I lost a whole weekend day.
Yeah. You know, we've done a couple of baseball doubleheaders, and the baseball games are longer, right? Six innings or really 2.5 hours is kind of where they cap. But if you get two like stretch games, it's like,
yeah,
that's like an 8-hour day. I mean, it's literally an 8-hour day. Fortunately, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting there
in the sun or the rain.
Or it has been cold. I'm also, I've lost a little bit of weight, and so I've been abnormally cold this spring. You know, it'll be 50 degrees
your winter coat.
And windy, which is not warm, but not particularly cold. And I am freezing. So I don't know. I'm going to have to figure that out. But it's going to be warm very soon. So I'm not going to spend too much time worrying about it.
It's coming. So two more weeks of it. And then we're going to miss the third week because we're going camping.
Do you have got like an assistant coach or?
I think I'm the assistant coach.
Oh, I see.
In that he has been coaching for much longer, but is a lot less technically aware of the sport.
You are the assistant coach with sort of.
I'm like the special skills coach. I'm the quarterback coach, we'll call it.
You're the COO.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun, and I was glad that I didn't get thrust immediately into like, hey, here's the app, and now you have to communicate with all the parents and families and do all that kind of stuff. I'm like, that's not really my bag, man. But I will definitely show up and coach. And
you're front of the house. It. You're the front of the house guy. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're not here to talk about lacrosse or coaching or even CLE podcasts. Rather, we're here to talk about watches, and we got a good episode. This was fun for me because it had been like a solid, I don't know, 11 days, 10 days since we'd thought about the podcast.
Yeah, because we did a weird quick turn because I was in Sun River last week, which was beautiful, and I kicked myself every single day for not bringing golf clubs.
Oh, man. I knew it, you guys.
Every single day for not bringing golf clubs. Because there was definitely a day where I should have golfed instead of attending sessions.
Or even if you get in 9 holes out. Anyway, never go to a resort town and don't take a swimsuit or don't take golf clubs.
I didn't take a swimsuit on purpose because I had no interest in being in a pool or hot tub with like a statewide work conference.
You still always bring both of those things. Even if you know 100% you're not going to golf, you know 100% you're not going to swim, you still take them.
I brought neither, so.
You fucked up.
I did neither. I did fuck up. I should have golfed because the greens were looking good.
Yeah.
The first day I was there, they had just sanded all of them. And then the second day I was there, there were people playing. First day, no golfers, but second day, bunch of golfers.
If you don't know, Sun River is sort of a hot desert resort town in Oregon, Central Oregon. Bend is the closest city that.
Yeah, it's like 20 miles outside of Bend.
And they've got, you know, fantastic golf. If they've got a Jack Nicklaus designed course. Mm-hmm. They've got, I think there's probably, you know, I don't know, 10 golf courses in a 10 mile or 15 mile radius.
Yeah, it's either like resort homes or golf courses.
And they're all pretty nice. They're all really nice golf courses. So yeah it's a great place.
You could probably golf your way from Bend to Sun River,
right?
Like in a golf cart, just connect courses together.
Watches.
Oh, we should get there.
Watches. We're here to talk about watches. And I was just saying it was nice to have that little bit of time away from the show, because then when it was time to sort of start preparing material, I was like, yeah, there are a lot of watches that I want to talk about.
Yeah, we have like the tail end of Watches and Wonders. We have WPHH, and we got some like just some kind of stuff happening. There wasn't a long cool down from these big shows.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I do feel like sometimes we've got, it's like, well, if we get to it, we can talk about this. But this week it was like, no, these are the watches I want to talk about, and I want to talk about all of them.
I had to pare down some things when I saw how many watches you sent me, which was unusual. You usually do not send that many. That don't overlap.
That's right. I usually send second.
But even when you send second, we didn't have much overlap. We only had like maybe three things that I pared down because of overlap. And then another like four or five that I was like, that's too much shit. We're not going to get to all of this. Never mind those extra things.
Why don't you get us started?
Okay. So first I want to talk about something interesting. I don't particularly care for the watch. I don't really know much about the brand. The Sarpaneva Dragon Skin, the first dial of its kind. And what interested me is that this EDC fella who likes dragon skin use in knives pitched to Sarpaneva, like, hey, dude, try that dial. So dragon skin isn't this really beautiful, colorful material that's very similar to Damascus. It seems that it's like a fusion of colored ball bearings that are then forged down into shape. So you get these very Damascus-esque, but it's actually dragon skin, geometric patterns on them that are irregular, but kind of like they fit together really nicely. And that's what caught my eye, is this dragon skin dial. The rest of the watch, it's, you know, it's 42 millimeter case, 42 millimeter by 46 millimeter. Yeah, 42 millimeter case, 46 lug to lug, a modified Chronode P1003 movement inside, 100 meters of water resistance, really like super futuristic kind of case design and geometry on it. I don't super even know how to describe this, the beveling and the bracelet. I'm not super into the watch. It's $21,000, $19,000.
Yeah, price on this is an expensive watch.
Yeah, so $21,000. It's going to be a limited edition because it's a small brand, small batch, but this dial is gorgeous. The way the hands are integrated into it, the markers are the same kind of shape as the balance on the second hand. So there's like this interesting capturing of like a coalescence of design language in it with this very random cross section of dragon scale. This is cool. It's really lovely. And that's what got me excited. I saw it and I was like, that's fucking cool. And it's the first time this methodology is being applied to dials in a watch.
Yeah, there's a couple interesting things about this. So one, dragon skin is a material that gets used for knife scales. Mm-hmm. If you're into knives at all, you may have heard of the company Grimsmo Knives. That's a company out of Ontario. They started a few years back. The owner actually started a YouTube channel trying to figure out how to make knives in his garage, and he quickly bought a small like hobby CNC machine, and now he's turned this company, Grimsmo Knives, into a relatively well-known company that makes quite a few knives out of Ontario, and they've got a full-on shop, and they make, you know, they sell the Grimsmo Norseman or the Grimsmo Rask are both, you know, products that sell. You can't buy one. You can get in a lottery to get it from the company. Resale secondary prices are typically over retail price. I mean, this is a really cool company that is making in-demand products. And Grimsmo actually is one of the companies that is leading the way in making this material. They actually made the dials for this. Mm-hmm. Grimsmo made the dials, which is neat. It's a cool crossover.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about Serpeneva.
No, I've never even heard of him. I've never heard of him before you shot me this link.
Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by, I like actually new shit, like doing the basics, but in a new way and applying new technology, new materials to a dial is something that's really cool and exciting to me.
And I don't know. So Justin Maxine Frost is a watch journalist. He writes for Sharp Magazine, which I think is a Canadian. This is someone who I've seen pictures of him. I know he's in the world, but I don't know a lot about him. But this was actually his idea, right? Mm-hmm. He pitched this idea to Sharp and Eva. It's just there's a lot of cool connections here. This is a really terrific.
Yeah, it's like a true enthusiast of like just cool shit watch.
It's crazy to me that it's a $21,000 watch, but it looks to me like maybe there's some justification in terms of materials and the quality of the watch. The dial on this thing is fucking nuts. It's and so and cool. Not just the shark skin, like the markers are like this ring that sits on top of the dial and is connected to the dial with screws. There's some craftsmanship here, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about the watch to say, yes, this is something that I'd want. Well, I'm not going to buy this, just to be clear.
No, I don't even want this. I want more of this.
Yeah, this is really cool.
What you got?
I've got a watch I'd like to talk about. The Depincel. I think I'm saying that right. Depincel? Rapunzel?
Yeah, I think Rapunzel is probably more accurate.
I'm going to say Depincel, and if you know that I'm wrong, and every time I say that, you just are screaming, you couldn't send me a message. I'll try not to say it very
Depincel.
Much.
Depincel.
They did a collaboration with Worn and Wound on a chronograph. There's a few interesting things about this. So one, it is a Worn and Wound collaboration, and I think it's a neat one. That's interesting in and of itself. The second is it is a single sub-register chronograph, which means they've gotten rid of the running seconds. Which when I first saw that, I was like, well, I don't like that. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, I'm okay with that. Do you need running seconds on a chronograph? So it makes for some real, it makes for a fun dial. Oftentimes, yeah. Okay, so that's that. I'll just talk about it. We'll just say that. They've gotten rid of the running seconds. We just
talked about Depincel recently, but I don't remember what the release was.
Depincel?
Yeah.
I don't remember either. The final thing that I find really interesting about this is they're powered by a vintage Valjoux 92 movement, which is an older hand-wound Valjoux movement, which I think 50s or 60s. And they're only making 20 of these, and they're
this is probably all they could find.
They're not crazy. So, I mean, they're still available today. $3,900, which is a lot, but for what you're getting here, I think it's totally
for a vintage Valjoux. I think that's in the zone.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're sexy, man. You just have, I mean, there's a lot of neat stuff going on here. So, hand wound Valjoux 92. It is a 39 millimeter case, 13 millimeters thick, 46 millimeters lug to lug, terrific single register at 3 o'clock. But you've also got this like sector dial with a pulsometer in the middle. So mm-hmm. you get the typical tachometer on the outside because this is a racing watch. Colors are great. It's like this mint green with mm-hmm. black on the outside, black on the inside.
Bright red hands, like your timer hands.
The second hand, the chronograph second hand, is sort of like a spear that extends quite a ways into the counterbalance is a second spear end that goes pretty long. So it's not symmetrical, but it's got like a bit of visual weight on both sides. It looks like
the balance end is used for the pulsometer because it runs to the pulsometer ring.
And that is exactly what that is. And I did not realize that until you said that just now.
The long end runs the tack. Yep.
Exactly what that is. Yeah. This is cool, man. Yeah,
this is well executed.
As soon as I saw this, because I saw it and I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And then you look at it and it's like, oh, not only does it make sense, it's really elegantly put together.
And functionally. It's mm-hmm. one of those good collisions of design and functionality in a really lovely union.
And the green is like this, like, not obnoxiously mint green.
It's kind of seafoamy.
Yeah, but not, yeah. I'm not always a huge fan of this color, but they've done it really well here.
The counterbalance of the black and the way they integrated that green into the into your tracks of your pulsometer and your tachometer really pull it all together. And the red on the markers. Yeah, this is good. This is really great use of color.
The case is interesting. It's a pretty straightforward kind of short lugged case. It's got a applied plaque
that.
on the 9 o'clock side, which
it just says a Valjoux 92
yeah
- Warren one.
Yeah, it's fine. That's sort of a thing that folks are doing with sort of upper middle end horology these days.
So I could do without.
Beautiful watch. I find this to be a really compelling, pretty limited edition watch.
Ben, you can still buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're available.
Cool.
I think because of the price, because of what you're getting for the price, I think that not everybody's going to be copping on these. But I actually, I'm not going to buy it because that's more money than I want to spend on a watch right now. But I think it's really terrific.
I want to talk about something interesting.
I hope all of the things we talk about today are interesting.
No, we're going to talk about some boring stuff. I want to talk about something fun, interesting. There is a Frank Mueller cigarette lighter watch, which, according to Mr. Jamie Weiss, is the wackiest creation of Geneva Watch Week. And, you know, I think I fully agree. So this is, I have to find the name of it. So Frank Mueller teamed up with the luxury goods manufacturer ST DuPont, which are one of the top high-end cigarette lighter makers in the world and great goldsmiths. So this is a fully functional watch, fully functional lighter in this really fun Alice in Wonderland kind of color, font, dial scheme on one side of the lighter with an open-worked skeleton movement on the back side of the lighter. The integration of these two mainstays in life in this kind of design era is so cool. Price is on request, which means you can't afford it.
Yeah.
I can't afford it. I would love to see one of these in person because the fonts on the dial are fantastical. It says Color Dreams on the dial. The decoration of the movement on the opposite side of the lighter is equally colorful and fun. A really well integrated crown that's recessed fully into the body of the lighter. So this isn't like a, this is a novelty, right? Don't mistake this for here. Sure.
Yeah.
But it's a really functional novelty. If you had the cash to throw around and be wildly irresponsible and reckless, this could be both a watch and a lighter for you.
You know, Franck Miller watches are not, they're certainly not what we'd call affordable, but oftentimes they're in the realm of, these things are, they go from anywhere from, that's a big chunk of change, to absurd. But by and large, Franck Miller isn't making, Franck Miller isn't making, A lot of Franck Mueller watches are in the realm of doable, and so this, if I had to guess, I'm gonna say this is probably a $20,000 to $25,000 lighter, if that's your thing. It's interesting to me the collision. This is a perfectly Franck Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
Watch, right? Or I guess
thing,
you know,
it's a multi-tool is what it is.
Sort of, a bit of like the Geneve.
I'm just saying,
automatic.
It makes your Zippo look like trash.
It does. You really have a really elegant collision of these two worlds. The DuPont lighter has a hobnail case, which is mm-hmm. exactly what you'd expect from that. And then you have this beautiful guilloche dialed. This thing's terrific.
Yeah. This is so weird, but it's super fun. And this is the kind of like fun novelty stuff that I like, because it's silly. There's nothing about this is taking itself seriously.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a cigarette smoker, or even just a person who really wants to have a cool as shit lighter.
I really hope to see this in a music video.
Can we say that this is the coolest lighter we've ever talked about on the show without any reservations?
Yeah, without any.
There you have it.
We've done it. We've peaked.
Details about the watch lighter, you don't need them.
Nope.
Don't worry about it.
Because I don't know it's a lighter.
Andrew, have you heard of this Amida Digitrend?
Yes.
Okay. So there is a 1970s horizontal display watch that I'd never heard of. Similar to Girard Perregaux Casquette or Bulova Computron.
Or the Hamilton.
Is that a horizontal reader?
It's the angle reader.
Yeah. Well, this is like that, right? Mm-hmm. This is a watch from the 70s. Amida was one of the companies that sort of was in the mix as this technology became. And by horizontal reader, I mean, MB&F has specifically referenced this watch in their work. But with that said, it's not something that I was really aware of. Anyway, it's back. It's back. What was formerly a quartz watch, now an automatic watch. And I think this thing is pretty cool. So it displays the time with a couple of wheels. So you've got a jumping hour and dragging minute wheel that actually display vertically
on a mirror,
so they're flat, yeah. and then they get projected,
or not a mirror but a reflective surface,
through a mirror into a prism so that they display the appropriate hour and minutes horizontally. So as you view this thing with your wrist turned sideways, you can see the display horizontally, but it's kind of twisty, as you might expect, being displayed through a prism.
Well, because it's also, it's meant to look like the digital version of itself. This is weird. This is really fucking weird.
It's weird and cool. And there's a couple things going on here that I was like, well, this is really neat. So first, it is aesthetically, I would say, really pretty true to the original, having looked at pictures of both. But it's an automatic movement. So this was a quartz movement, or this was a quartz watch, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is an automatic watch. It's kind of a big boy.
Oh, wait, no. So the originals, maybe they
were hand wound manuals. Oh, okay. But this thing is run with a Soprod Newton, the PO92, which is a cool, if not particularly crazy, watch. But we've got like fantastic finishing, Geneva striping, customized open worked rotor, and this jumping hour dragging minute display with an in-house design module comprised of only, I guess, 9 components, doubling as both a plate and actually holding the movement together as the casing ring. And everything's printed in negative or in mirror reverse image, so that when it displays through the mirror and gets pulled by the prism, it displays the way you're supposed to. There's a lot going on here, and it's really cool. Comes on a strap or a bracelet. Alcantara is the strap, and it actually looks really good. These were pre-ordered this week, and I think you can still get them. At $2,900,
I did not realize that these were mechanical watches masquerading as quartz watches.
Yeah, it's a mechanical. Yeah, right.
No, the originals.
I didn't realize until we were talking about it either. I thought it was a quartz. Yeah, mechanical.
But trying to match the cool shit quartz of the time.
Yeah, interesting. And also, Amida didn't survive the quartz crisis. They were a victim of the quartz crisis.
It's called
the Digitrend.
It's called the Digitrend.
Well, it is a digital watch. You know, we talked about this early, mm-hmm. early. But digital doesn't mean
it does not
quartz. Digital is just the way the display shows up.
Yeah.
This is pretty terrific.
This is cool. And I think for being a zombie, this is a decent price for this.
So the three guys came together. Clement Meunier, who's sort of a watch aficionado, but also the founder of Capo and Depincel. Bruno Herbe, who is a movement engineer. And Matthew Allegre, who is a watch designer, who's done a lot of sort of back end watch design work, sort of like a low key dream team of folks came together to make this happen. I think it's terrific. It's a big amount of money for a novelty watch, but this is pretty cool. I mean. Is this as good as an MBNF? No, of course not. But you're getting really good design here, even if it's someone else's design. But you're also getting a lot of horology, right? Yeah,
you're getting some really cool shit.
The engineering on this thing is pretty terrific, and it's really good looking. I mean, I would wear this.
Oh, I'd wear the shit out of this.
Of all of the watches that we've seen come out in the last 6-7 years that have done something similar, this is the only one of those. All of the like Hamilton Pulsar stuff, mm-hmm. all of the this is the only one in that whole entire range of really novelty, niche throwback stuff. This is the first one I've seen that I'm like, I'd fucking wear that.
Mm-hmm. I would not wear the original bracelet, though. The original bracelet looks awful.
I mean, it looks like a product of its time.
But it's a 3-inch long end link.
Yeah.
It's a bracelet, like an arm ring bracelet.
You know, and for being a bracelet guy, the bracelet on this watch isn't doing it for me. I'd take this on the Alcantara.
I have some concerns about the bracelet on this.
It's a single link.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever. I'd take this on the Alcantara, though.
I think so, too.
Anyway, I don't know anything about this, but I was like, shit, this is neat. What's next, Andrew?
Next up for me, and this is maybe I'm posing a question. So Omega this week launched a whole bunch of new 38 millimeter Speedmasters. And I was looking through the catalog of it, and I found myself really kind of bummed out. So they've released a Moonshine Gold, a Sedona Gold, or a Sedna Gold, some new color variations, a bunch of diamond crusted bezels, and I just feel like this is a big miss for me. They're obviously beautiful, right? Because, you know, 20 carats of diamond in the bezel of your watch is a flex. I just don't think the Speedmaster is the platform for this. I feel like Omega has so many better vehicles to be doing this kind of bling to that this is a kind of a miss for me. I love the 38 millimeter Speedmaster. I really love it. Unfortunately, I've recently learned that I love the full size Speedmaster, which sucks because I really love it. But I had higher hopes when I read this headline. I was like, "Ooh, what do we got?" And I was like, "Oh, huh, strange miss for me." Which is unusual because I don't usually see Omega releases and get bummed out. What are your thoughts? You're like holding it back.
Well, I mean, we talked about the, I'm blanking on the name, but the pulsometer, that sort of vintage, that vintage chronograph dial that they stuffed into a Speedy case a couple weeks ago. And I opined at the time, like, I think this is a bit of
the Paris one?
A mismatch, yes, the Olympics one. Mm-hmm. As much as I love that watch, and I think it's a really cool watch, I thought, well, it's a bit of a mismatch. Give me a more elegant case for this really elegant dial. I don't know that I feel exactly the same way about these, but this is a little weird.
It's weird, right?
Diamond clad bezels. I'm, you know, whatever. Okay, that's fine. There's something interesting going on with the movement of these. So these are a 7750 that's been, they're calling this the caliber 3330.
Yeah, the 3330.
Which is a Etta Valjoux 7750 upgraded with a column wheel and a coaxial escapement. So I think that means it's going to be about 35 millimeters thick, mm-hmm. On average.
On a 38 millimeter case, I mean.
But maybe it's cool.
It's going to be a cube.
It's going to be a cube. Maybe that's cool. I don't know. I actually couldn't find a thickness. Oh, 14.7, which, all right, that's fine. I don't know. Yeah, I don't get that. This isn't for me.
It's just a weird release. I mean, if you want to bling something, you know, go Aquaterra. And these are also crazy expensive, which is maybe the other part of it. Like, it's a miss because it's just not for me.
Yeah, with the diamonds, you're starting at like 29 grand on steel, 56, 4 in gold on leather, and 77.
Yeah.
That's crazy. No, that's not crazy. Fuck. I'm sure that's
gold money. That's fine, that's but precious metal. I don't know what Omega's doing with the Speedmaster platform right now. And I'm kind of confused by it. They're doing some weird stuff with the Speedmaster, and they have other things in the catalog that this could land. Like this, an Aquaterra with this, fucking great. All about it.
You know, Andrew, I've always said more is more. So I'm fine with this in that respect. I don't understand the watch, but that doesn't matter because
they're not selling to me. I think they're trying to attract women to the Speedmaster.
Yeah, it's possible. I think they've done this in the past. So
yeah, the it's not super new. They have new colorways out right now.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, that's right. The platform's not new. It's just. Yeah, it does. This does feel a little cheap to me.
It's a strange play because they have so many other things in their catalog they can be doing this with.
More is more. I'm fine with it.
The gold is really lovely.
Yeah, that moonshine with the burgundy is a pretty color combo.
It's still an.
I don't get the diamond bezel, actually.
It's a big miss for me. It's like you totally remove the value of your Speedmaster.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's weird, but
fun. It's weird.
Can we talk for just a second about Christopher Ward?
We really need to talk about Christopher Ward.
I don't know if we need to. This watch. So Christopher Ward dropped a watch this week. It's the 12. It's the newest version of the 12. It's the 12X. This is a pretty niche product. This is a pretty niche product, but there's some interesting things about it. So first is that this is the SH21 movement, but it's been like skeletonized to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, they've taken awful lot of material. Both so the SH21 Christopher Ward's in house, and this movement has a twin barrel or a two barrel power. Why can't I talk?
I'm
Andrew? Not sure.
I'm kind of smitten by these.
So you can see they've exposed both barrels, so you can see the springs unwinding from the top. When you look down at this, you can see everything.
It's the best power reserve indicator that's ever been made.
I don't know. You'd have to figure out how to read it, but yes, perhaps. This thing is absolutely stunning. I say this as a guy that doesn't like skeletonized movements, generally speaking. And really, as a guy who probably wouldn't buy this because skeleton movements aren't my thing, this thing is gorgeous. A few decisions. So one, grade 2 titanium on the mid case for probably, I'm guessing, polishing purposes. Grade 5 on the bezel and the case back, which is interesting. You think. Oftentimes that might make sense. Go with a harder titanium in the areas that are most likely to take contact.
The high traffic areas.
With that said, the case back's always against your wrist. That's not getting whacked. And the but bezel,
if you get a abrasive material between your wrist and your watch.
Yeah, sure. But also the bezel on these things is so like tucked away. It's not even the most likely thing. I don't know. It's interesting. I imagine,
yeah, the case is getting it on this.
That this has more to do with polishing and finishing than it does anything else. That decision, but that's a weird decision. These things are pretty cool. What are they coming in at? 39? No, 43.35.
Yeah. I'm seeing 48.65 for the 40 millimeter case. Because it comes in two sizes. We have a 36 and a 40. I don't know if I'm super jacked about the Christopher Ward stamp on the bracelet.
Okay. So here's the other thing. And this is really important. This is maybe the most important thing that's happened in affordable watches in a while. This has got the same butterfly clasp that appears on the 12, or that's not true. It's a different butterfly clasp. And what's cool about this one is you get a micro adjust. We've got a micro adjustable butterfly class. Now, I know Christopher Ward has...
I wonder if that's what he teased to us like 2 years ago.
He has... So Christopher Ward has suggested or alluded that they're really the only ones doing this. I know Vacheron does something similar in the overseas and has for some time. But we've not seen anything like this in affordable watches.
Mm-mm.
I've read a few things about this, or at least in relation to this or the 12, where Jörg Bader Sr. claims to have invented the butterfly clasp. I'm not able to put a point on that. If you know, so here's what I believe: the butterfly clasp has been around for 100 years, maybe more. However, Jörg Bader Sr. is, in interviews, having taken credit for inventing that. I don't want to say Jörg Bader Sr. didn't invent the butterfly clasp. Jörg Bader Sr. being the CEO of CW Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say he didn't, but is there some nuance to that claim, perhaps, that makes it true? I don't know. If you know, I'd really like to know what your thoughts are on this, because I thought that was interesting as I was looking at this. Anyway, moving on from that, this is a micro-adjustable butterfly clasp. I have always poo-pooed the butterfly clasp, not because it's not comfortable. They are comfortable.
So comfortable.
Assuming you can get one to fit. They're so small, and they're so subtle that they just disappear
mm-hmm.
on that bottom of your wrist. But if you don't get a perfect fit, you're stuck. You're stuck with wherever that thing lands.
And that's why you got to use really... short lengths.
This gives you 3 millimeters of adjustment.
Hmm. That's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, it's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough. So, but this is a $5,000 watch. Yeah, you're mm-hmm. right. $4,865. You know, this is an expensive watch. A lot of that is the movement finishing, which is also the dial finishing, because because it's a fully skeletonized dial watch. Is this a couple questions? Maybe not fair.
I mean, this is just for this iteration of the 12. The standard fair 12s are what, like $1,500?
Is this a Zenith Defy homage? First question. And is this a Zenith Defy for about the same price as Zenith Defy? How much does a Zenith Defy cost?
Weren't those 13?
Zenith Defy. Yeah, certainly that's more. I mean, no, you can get, well, let's see, the skeleton. Yeah, we're Googling on the show.
We do it live all the time.
So $8,265 for a Zenith Defy.
Is that used or is that brand new in box?
That's at Joma Shop.
Okay, so brand new in box likely.
And so I'm not taking anything away from Christopher Ward. But, you know, you're getting into some heavy hitters here.
Yeah.
They've definitely priced this thing.
Well, and Mike France has been on here and said often they will, their more expensive watches, they will go against their 3X pricing model.
Oh, has he said that?
Yeah, he said it on this show.
Oh, well, there you go.
That they'll sometimes pull it down a little bit.
I love this watch. I'm just saying, for right now, Joma Shop, you can get a Zenith Defy Skyline Skeleton for $8,595.
Are these limited?
I don't think that. So. I didn't see anything suggesting this was limited.
This is an interesting introduction into the Christopher Ward portfolio of watches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
we're seeing an interesting separation in Christopher Ward watches right now. We're seeing some like really haute stuff.
Yeah, so we're like seeing really, the Jorgs. We're seeing the Jorgs come to play, man.
And then their foundational watches are still iteratively getting better, but still staying within that really traditional, simple design language and this really cool kind of, I mean, in an interesting way. We've got this experimental zone of Christopher Ward and then the staples.
I'm going to paraphrase heavily when I say this, but Jorg at one point told me he was not interested. He did not care about the run-of-the-mill production stuff, that he was into the higher end. This is Jorg Jr.
This is when he showed us the Bel Canto.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care about that stuff. That stuff's like, whatever. This is the stuff that's cool.
Yeah.
And so I think we're seeing, with the increase in Swiss production, I think we're seeing well, it's always been Swiss, but they've increased their capabilities to make high-end cool shit. And so we're just seeing more of that. That's what this is. Clearly, this is
a maturation of Christopher Ward, and they're letting loose on the reins a little bit.
Andrew, we've got time for a few more watches. What else do you got?
I want to mention the Norcane Wild One, just because it's such a neat thing. They have a fully customizable Wild One option on their website. They claim that it has 3.5 million possible configurations. I went and
you counted them all?
I did. I counted them all one by one, and they're not right. I don't do math good, so I'm sure that they are right, because you can customize every single thing: the case, the dial, the shock absorber, the bracelet, the strap, the buckle,
the movement.
Yeah, the movement, the hands, every damn thing on this watch is totally customizable. They're $19,000. But what kind of got me excited about this is, like, that means that this is what Norcane's supply chain is capable of right now. That they can do totally customizable watches direct to you. And that's an exciting thing, because when a brand has such control over their supply chain, it means that they're in control of everything.
Well, look, I don't make watches, but if you give me $20,000, Andrew, I'll make you something interesting and unique.
I don't know.
One of a kind.
That's an exciting prospect for me, that I can order a watch today. Every single component of it I chose from their list of, you know, 5 to 12 options per customizable component, and it's going to be in the mail.
You know, Catelyn Schmidt, friend of the show, friend of mine, when she went over to Norcane, I thought, you know, I like Norcane. Norcane's a cool brand. I don't like Norcane. I've decided. I think Catelyn's still there. I'm sorry, Catelyn, if you hear this. I don't like Norcane watches. I don't like them. They do not interest me at all. I don't think they're particularly attractive. I think they're too much for what it is. That's just me. This is subjective. This doesn't interest me.
This customization tool is what got me excited. I don't particularly like the Wild One, but if I could have the Wild One of one, I'm okay with that.
You know me.
If anyone's buying one for me.
You know me. I hate poo-pooing people's purchases, but just saying, if you like Norcane, you're stupid.
And that's fact. You've heard it here.
IFL watches, Andrew, do you know what this is? IFL watches, so it's actually, I think I fucking love watches, is a watch designer. They do mostly collaborations, and really they're known for sort of taking watches and making cool painted dials, like custom artwork dials. They've made a Steamboat Willie Suyosa, which is a moon watch. This is a space / Steamboat Willie themed.
And they've all been to the moon.
And we talked about this recently, right?
Yeah, we talked about the Suyosa when it was released.
well, we talked about the Steamboat Willie thing. So Steamboat Willie is in the public domain now. Meaning it's old enough that anybody can use the imagery, Steamboat Willie. So this is a free use, a public domain use of the of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, real old Mickey Mouse.
IFL has taken advantage of and stuck on a Citizen watch. And it's a Soyosa, which is just a terrific watch. You know, these things are 40 millimeters by 11 and change, and they don't cost very much money.
This was the perfect platform to use.
Well under $1,000 for an integrated steel sports watch. With a cool IFL dial. I was not a whole lot to say about these. I think these are available right now as you hear this.
150 of them.
Yeah, so let's
see. Under $1,000.
Yeah, $900. So these are, as of this moment, sold out. Oh, too bad.
Well,
they're sold out.
They might. They'll pop up secondhand.
Anyway, I thought this was cool. I did hear some criticisms on the artwork that it's a little like sloppy looking. I'm not sure I agree with that. This is neat. It's got like sort of a Tiffany blue sunburst dial. This is a cool watch.
Yeah, I disagree with the sloppiness of the artwork.
I mean, it's art. Critique. Right. Yeah. It's art. So it's hard to... This is kind of what IFL does. And this is based on a previous IFL Soyosa watch that has a very similar drawing, but without Mickey Mouse. This is the one with Mickey Mouse.
Without Mickey Mouse.
That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that.
Andrew, you got any more watches you'd like to talk about?
I can cut the rest of these. What you got?
Okay, so just quickly, there's a new Orient Star M34 F8. Check it out. Hanhart introduced a limited production Preventer 9 black. It's all black. It's Schwartz. It's cool.
This was an overlap watch.
Meister Singer redid the Neo, which is their 36 millimeter. It's now got sapphire. It's terrific. I think that's the rest of our list.
That is. It closes us out.
Andrew, other things. What do you got?
Ooh, I have another thing. I got a thing for my birthday. And we broke it out the other day.
Oh, a prostate exam?
It wasn't from like a medical professional or anything.
Fine. This is self prostate exam.
Why is it gonna be self, man? Why you gotta do me like that?
You did it.
You were there. Anyhow, I got a spike ball kit. It's called the backyard kit, and I pulled up a slightly different one, but it's the
same. Wait, what's spike ball?
So spike ball, I'm gonna oh, you're explain getting there. It. So spike ball is a yard game activity wherein you have a net trampoline and a ball about half again larger than a softball.
I've seen this,
and it's played with volleyball rules with two teams of two. But you're bouncing it on the net, and there's still a set and a spike, and then a set and a spike and a set and a spike, and the whole goal is to cause the opposing team to miss, and you score points. I was introduced to this game in like 2019. When I was at the police academy, there were people to play in the yard, and I was like, oh, that looks kind of fun. Played it and I was like, oh, this is fun, especially when you get adults playing like this really small space game, because that's what it is. It's like the trampoline itself is 3 feet maybe in diameter, good bouncy net, inflatable ball, so you're not having to run all over the fucking place. It's not tennis, it's not kind of stagnant stationary like ping pong. It's engaging, it's fun, like you can play it while you're drinking beer, and it's perfect. So the one that I got for my birthday is, and most of them, claps down into like a little one of those string pull backpack bags. It weighs next to nothing. It is super fun, and the kids like to play it, and you don't even have to really play with them. They just bounce the ball and then run and get it. Like they play fetch with themselves. $70 from Dick's Sporting Goods. You can, you know, take your pick of what you want. The one that I got is pretty, it's plastic, but it's like pretty sturdy plastic.
It feels good enough.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about breaking it. And like, unless an adult, a human adult, a kid can fall on it. If an adult falls on it, I think that will be the end of that game. But also because it's light, like it's not, you know, you got some weight to strength ratio there. Yeah, it's been super fun. The kids have liked bouncing the ball and
sounds cool.
It's a fun yard game. It's a fun camping game. So that's where it, like, it's going to get thrown in the trailer and played all summer. And
that sounds rad.
Yeah, it's good. So that's my other thing. It's like the right level of intensity for middle-aged people.
I was going to ask you, you were talking about this and it made me think of something. Have you ever played Stump?
Perhaps. I don't know Stump, what it is.
You have a stump. There'll be a nail, a big nail in it. You have a hammer. This is a drinking game. It's like a tailgating game. You flip the hammer into the air, and then as you catch it in a single motion, you can't stop it. So you have to, and you try to pound the nail. It just in terms of the space constraints, I was like, this reminds me of like this is oddly competitive, and people get into it, but it's in like a tight space. You know, you don't need a bunch of room like cornhole or whatever. You can sort of do it right here.
And it's a little bit more intense than cornhole. Like you can't get as sloppy playing it because you still got to have some good motor function and some agility. Yeah. I've never played Stump. That looks like my speed of a game, though.
It's rad. I was thinking we need an opportunity to play Stump.
We need to get some stumps.
Andrew, I've got another thing.
Do me.
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm back to knives. I can't get away. It's sort of my hobby right now. And it's been, you know, you go through phases of life where you're like, this is the thing I'm into. This is the thing I'm doing right now. And that's where I'm at. So I'm excited about it. And yeah, I'm just going to keep bringing them back. So we've had several people message us to say, hey, I bought a knife based on your knife series. And thanks you guys for doing what you do. I got the 940 or whatever. And I think that's awesome. I love getting those messages.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the Osborne is ugly as sin and is the best feeling knife I've ever had in my hand.
It's so terrific.
It doesn't make any sense.
I love getting those messages, you guys. Keep them coming. If you bought a knife based on our series, our EDC knife series, even if it's not the ones we talk about, let us know because that is so fun to hear. So I got a knife, and it's a knife I didn't particularly like. I got the Benchmade Griptilian, but the Benchmade Griptilian's been around for forever and ever. This is an FRN plastic, grivery, scaled knife that's super famous. It's probably one of Benchmade's best-selling knives. But I had handled this knife, and I just knew I don't love that knife. I don't love the way it feels. I don't like the grivery scales. But I like the knife. I like the blade shape. I like the size. But that knife, in the package that it gets sold, it is not terrific. However, there are a billion of these things. So I bought one that was basically new. I got a terrific deal on it. And I went ahead, and this is my first sort of modded knife. I wanted to mod a knife. And so what I did, there's a company called AWT. I bought a set of AWT Archon scales, Archon. And they are, what they are is aircraft aluminum that have been milled and coated with Cerakote. This is a Cerakoted aluminum scale. And it took a little bit of time for everything to get to me. So, but I got everything and I put it together and I instantly fell in love with this knife. I think the best Griptilian you can get. I've got a Benchmade Griptilian. It's just a Benchmade Griptilian, but with customized scales. And this thing is absolutely, I put it together and I was like, I got to get this in Andrew's hands because he's going to love it. This is right up your alley.
Yeah, that's all the things that I like. I want a combo blade, but
it feels good. The shape is good. The weight is good. It's sort of got that cool but not cold feeling in your hand. The Archon is like, it's like a textured aluminum.
It kind of is like the Presidio grip.
It feels scaling. Similar, right? Yeah, yeah. It feels similar. It just took this knife that I was like, that knife's kind of weird. And I recognize its place in history, but it's not for me. It took it to being like, yes.
Well, it feels,
yes.
It feels like an Osborne. That grip is kind of the meeting place, those scales between an Osborne and a Bug Out. It's contoured like an Osborne is, but still really geometric, mm-hmm. like the Bug Out. It's all the good things of both.
You know,
because those aren't Griptilian scales.
They're not. Well,
they are. It's on a Griptilian, but they're not the Griptilian kind of like taper off, a little bit of a teardrop grip.
It's shape. Not round. Yeah. It's got a little bit of kick out at mm-hmm. the bottom, which gives it, I think, a little bit more modern and perhaps a little bit more generic look. But they're generally shaped the same, but they just it's got a little bit of more angle mm-hmm. at the bottom. You would ask me like, okay, so modding a watch versus modding a knife. Anything you can do on a watch short of changing the strap is more complicated than modding a knife. I have, I think, taken apart 25 different knives from, you know, all the way down. Like every single component that you can take apart has been taken apart. Every time I get a new knife, I just take it apart.
Take it apart and polish it and clean it up.
Yeah. Every time I take I just pull it all apart. I polish the washers or lube the bearings, depending on which knife. If you've ever even considered taking the case back off of a watch, you can take apart a knife.
With way less consequence.
That's right. That's right. It's so satisfying and so easier than working on watches by a million miles. And really fun. I really enjoyed doing this project. And there's something about, you know, you change the dial on a watch and all of a sudden you have a watch that feels to me like it's less than the original. I know not everybody feels that way. I've always kind of felt that way. I didn't feel that way with a knife. This thing is actually improved on the original, not just in terms of the function, but also like emotionally speaking. This is just a better knife and it's more valuable. And I don't have any of that negative feeling like, oh, it's not the OG. It's not OEM. Like, this is just awesome. It's just all things are yes.
Yeah, and the scales on that are great. It's a shame that that's not a like an OEM available, that you got to go aftermarket parts for it, because that's how that knife should feel.
That's how it should feel. And you know, in fairness to Benchmade, they do a lot of different stuff on different knives. I know you can get the Griptilian with G10, and that's actually a pretty good feeling knife. I don't think they offer an aluminum option, but maybe they do.
Blade shape and size, you need some weight in the handle, and that's good.
It's just it's really terrific. I really enjoyed the process. Not the cheapest way, you know. I think these AWT, so Applied Weapons Tech, is the company. I think they make gun parts in addition to knife parts. It's they're not cheap. I think these were 90. Do you have it pulled up?
I did just have them pull up, and then I was looking at the other stuff that they make.
It's essentially like $100 for the scales.
So there is Bug Out scales, Archon series, contoured Cerakote, $70.
For the Bug Out, for the Griptilian, I think they were $100.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's just more material.
Combo blade on that Bug Out is tempting.
So, you know, you're if you figure 140, I think, for the Griptilian new, probably 110 used in pretty good condition, plus $100. It makes for a pretty expensive knife at the end of the day. But
I think they just make knife stuff.
Oh, that might be true. I thought they did.
They make custom thumb studs too?
Yeah, they make all sorts of shit, dude. AWC. There's a handful of these companies that are making really cool stuff. RGT, AWT. Flytanium is sort of famous. I think they kind of make... I'm not a huge fan of Flytanium, but there's a number of brands that are making really cool mod parts for knives and doing so really well. And you can get everything from modestly affordable to...
$90 on Griptilian, $70 on Mini Griptilian.
So, you know, it makes this like a $250 knife-ish, which...
That's Benchmade costs.
Your mileage may vary. It seems fine to me. I'm a big fan of this. It's good blade steel. I got the S30V, which is not anything spectacular in 2024, but totally decent, really good steel. Yeah, this is it's a really cool knife. I'm really glad I did this, and I really like the knife.
It's a good knife.
Yeah.
Are you going to change the pocket clip?
You know, so I was thinking about getting the polished steel. I don't know. We'll see.
Get the polished deep carry for that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe yeah. The deep carry on that. Yeah. That would be the only other thing I'd change. Maybe change the pivot too. It's still got a black pivot, so.
Ooh, yeah, get a polished pivot.
Andrew, anything else you want to add before we go for the day?
You know, I think I've exhausted the things that I'd like to opine on.
Well, thanks for coming and talking about watches with me.
You know, it's my pleasure. Thank you for coming to my house to do so.
And hey, you folks at home, thanks for tuning in to listen to us talk about watches. We appreciate you tuning in to this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor, go to our website, watchclicker.com. That's where we post articles and reviews and other things about watches, plus every episode of this podcast. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that at Instagram, at 40 and 20, or excuse me, at WatchClicker or at 40 and 20 underscore WatchClicker. If you want to support us, and we really hope you do, you can do that at patreon.com/40and20. All the things we do cost money, and the folks that are supporting us on Patreon allow us to keep doing this. And don't forget to tune back in next Thursday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.